Next speaker is Jacqueline Cormier from New Mexico State University. She'll talk about intercropping and hydroponic production.
Do I just use the arrow keys? Do I use the arrow?
Yeah, arrow, yeah. Just arrow.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Close to the speaker.
Thank you for coming, everyone. My name is Jacqueline Cormier, and I'm from New Mexico State University. Today I'm going to be talking about intercropping winter greens between cane fruit rows for year-round high tunnel production. Originally, the objective of this study was to create a year-round model of blackberries intercropped with winter greens in a high tunnel. We're doing this because many of our local growers utilize high tunnels. And I would like to ensure that you guys understand that intercropping is different than companion planting. Companion planting is when two or more plants are planted close together for a specific benefit, and intercropping means that they are planted together for mostly yield increase. This is the location of the trial. We are in the northernmost part of New Mexico, and our latitude and longitude here places us right in the middle. Our elevation is right where the high elevation begins, but our yearly precipitation is only about 10 inches. So here in deciduous forests, you can get anywhere between 30 and 60. This is a very dry environment. Our temperatures can range from 89 in July to 15 in January, but these are just monthly averages. What we're actually looking at is a temperature swing that goes far below freezing with snow and high winds in the wintertime, and then we have very dry, very hot conditions in the summertime. This is a really unique and challenging and punishing environment to be growing soft fruit in. This is why our local growers use high tunnel construction. They're also called hoop houses. They are modular enclosed structures. These are not permanent structures, so they do have a lower cost. They're passively solar heated. What you're looking at right here is our vines planted in the wintertime, and then here you have our greens growing in between. This one is 9 feet high and 16 feet wide. And 40 feet long. It is one of the larger models, but they can be gutter connected and planted one next to the other. This one has two doors, one at each end for ventilation, and it also has a 4-foot sidewall that can be rolled up in the summertime. This particular model was not built from a kit. It was built by our extension agent, Del Jimenez. So our high tunnel model for this experimental design is intercropped. In the summertime, the blackberry vines will leaf out, and then in the fall, we will be harvesting them from July to September. In the wintertime, they are direct seeded in October, and the greens are going to be harvested January through April in the spring. We also have a field design. That's what you're looking at the very top. We have our two rows that leaf out in the summertime with no winter intercrop. In the fall, they are also harvested July through September, and they are dormant in winter time, so nothing is planted in the ground next to them. So this experimental design means that we have two seasons in the field with our Chester thornless blackberry and our Triple Crown blackberries, and four seasons in the high tunnel. So the wintertime has the red Russian kale and the Bloomsdale spinach, and the Chester blackberry and the Triple Crown blackberry in the summertime. These were chosen because our local growers already specifically grow these two types, especially the Triple Crown blackberry, which is a very large blackberry that is taken to market fresh. And we do have a grower that is using them, but the kale and spinach also goes to market. We're very close to the Santa Fe market where we are. This is showing you a map of the floor plan for both years of the high tunnel. These are randomized plantings. They were done by a random number generator in Excel. They are direct seeded in October. And what you're looking at with the little blue box right here, that is just showing you the plot for SAS totals. We take across the plot totals, and then the red is a subplot. So these were cut when the subplot is 75% marketable, and they are done in the cut and come again method, which is what our growers locally are using, and we are taking fresh weights. This is a mapping of the high tunnel and the field respectively. They are also harvested July through August, and we are also taking fresh weight per plant, but then we are going to be doing totals utilizing the whole plot. Right there. And these blackberry bushes are planted about 5 feet apart. We are on USDA organic land, so everything we do has to be OMRI approved. And again, we are modeling our practices off of our local growers. So we are doing a compost application prior to planting our winter greens. We do use vegetable compost and also the dairy cow compost. And the fertigation gets done in the summertime. And this is going to be done through the drip tape directly every 3 weeks. Again, being on certified organic land means that our pests also have to be dealt with in an OMRI approved manner. We do use wasp traps in and outside of the high tunnel. In the past, we have had to use protective mesh against the grasshoppers, and we have been using Pangantic. This image is an image of the late season red Russian kale. The inflorescence attracts aphids, and we do sometimes have bolting accompanied with that. Another part of the experiment is that we have been taking air temperatures inside of the high tunnel. We are using Hobo U12 data loggers. They do record an enormous amount of data every 30 minutes, 24 hours a day for 159 days. We're doing this to monitor the microclimates, and a microclimate is just an area inside of the greenhouse that has a different temperature regime than the rest of it. This is important because when choosing the size of your high tunnel, you have to keep these in mind. Throughout the study, we have consistently seen an edge effect in the four corners and then a more even temperature in the center. So if you were a grower looking at this, you would probably need to choose a larger high tunnel since you can't consistently count on the edges. We are also doing soil health analysis. These soils are taken at 0 to 10 centimeters in the field and high tunnel in similar locations. We have already taken soil nutrition in January of both years, and we have taken one soil phospholipid fatty acid analysis prior to this study being done and at the end of this year's harvest for the blackberries, which is ongoing at this moment. We will also be doing it again to look at changes in the microbiome. We're doing this because other studies have shown a preconceived notion that intercropping is beneficial to the soil health, and we're just trying to quantify that a little bit. In our preliminary results, we are showing that the Triple Crown blackberry is outproducing in both the field and in the high tunnel. By quite a bit. This is very interesting because our previous study that was done by Dr. Yao using these same fruit canes that were planted in 2011 in the same high tunnel, the sides were actually kept rolled up in the wintertime, and she got a yield that was almost double in the high tunnel. So we can see that having the winter intercrop is negatively affecting our vines. And as a result of our practices, the nitrogen is trending very low so far in our preliminary tests. Part of the reason for this is that we are applying organic nitrogen, and this is a short-term study. And intercropping does not change how much nitrogen a plant needs to bring the fruit to completion, and we are doubling the load that it is doing inside of this high tunnel. And our second PFLA will be done in September to help us with the soil health. This is an image of the cane damage. This is after pruning. And right here, you're looking at a Triple Crown blackberry with only a couple of vines that are going up. Normally, these are very large crowns with huge, almost to the ceiling, vines, and they have been pruned after the decline to very few vines, and they are only fruiting around the bottom. Here in the field, it's a little more lush. You have fruit going all the way up. So we are seeing in the high tunnel a lower bud count, less flowers, only fruiting at the base, and about half of the yield. We are thinking that this is probably due to temperature stress. They are probably breaking dormancy too soon and then exhibiting frost damage. This incomplete dormancy was with the sides rolled down, and this is because we're trying to create a climate that is able to grow these winter greens in, but it is very negative on the production for our blackberries. Our air temperature results here, the green is the covered rows. The good news is that a farmer replicating this can keep the temperatures in a range healthy for winter greens with the use of the high tunnel closed and with row covers. So it's keeping it just above the freezing line here most days, which is impressive considering how very cold it can get there. For our winter greens, we did discover that kale does outproduce spinach at a significant rate. The kale does have prone to bolting and also a possible lower market quality, whereas our spinach is more even. But overall, it is showing a significant growth compared to the spinach. So in conclusion, in this intercropping study, the winter drainages are acceptable throughout the tunnel, but only with the use of row covers. We are appearing to be using much more nitrogen than we can apply with our current practices. Our red Russian kale is significantly producing higher yields than Bloomsdale spinach, and preliminary results of this intercropping model show that it is not in any way beneficial to our high cane blackberries. I would like to thank members of my team, both at the Alcalde Station and on the main campus, and I will take questions now. Really? No questions? Okay. Yes.
Is there any carryover of insects between these two crops?
So far, not that I have seen. We have been getting aphids exclusively on the kale. They don't really even appear to be liking our spinach. And this is probably because the blackberries defoliate in the winter time, and so the aphids are just on the kale. Yes? So there is a fluctuation of market price. So depending on the year, the kale might be bringing you a higher price than the spinach. But the hard part about that is that when it comes to marketable yield, it depends on if you're selling this kale fresh or if you are, say, turning it into a product. Many of our growers are getting into juicing and things like that. So the fact that their last harvest is often bolting and woody with a more waxy cuticle, they can utilize this crop in other ways as well, besides just selling it fresh.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.